Jeff, Jeff, Jeff. Jeff, 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 Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff, Jeff, Jeff.
Host of the Iowa Business Report and the Iowa Politics Report on KXEL Radio, Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa, Jeff Stein is on the line. Hey, Jeff.
Good to talk to you. And I had the occasion to speak with Mr. McNeil this morning as well. And he sounded like he was in good spirits, even though he's been through an awful lot. But
he's actually super stoned, you know, because he's on pain meds.
Yeah, but this is nothing new. See, that's the difference. I'm used to this for decades with him. But,
yeah.
very, very good to connect with you today.
Yes. I'm Todd, by the way. Nice to meet you. I haven't met you before, but I've heard you on the radio on this show.
Well, so, your luck has run out, has it not?
I guess so, yeah. And I know something that you and Matt kind of like to do is get in arguments sometimes. So here's the topic.
All right.
Ronald Reagan, worst president ever. Let's discuss. No, I'm just kidding.
Which side do you want?
Oh, you don't even have a side on that?
Well, I was going to defer to you, you know, and then I'll take whatever side you want.
Right. Well, no, I was just going to, you know, try and come off with a bang at the beginning to try and impress you. Yeah, well, actually what I wanted to talk about, I kind of set things up a little bit for our listeners talking about the a history lesson on how the speakership election at the beginning of the session goes. I talked about the really long one that happened in 1856 that lasted 2 months and went to 133 ballots. And the last time that we had more than one ballot was in 1923. Now, how do you feel about what's going to happen this January?
If Donald Trump in any way gives a signal that he is squishy about Kevin McCarthy, then it's all bets off. As long as McCarthy has still kissed the ring or whatever enough, there are enough Republicans in that caucus who don't want to risk alienating Trump.
Right.
And you've gotten in. I heard just a little bit of your recitation before the break. And, yeah, you got people like Biggs who take the position of, look, you can't beat someone with no one.
Right.
So there are a lot of people who don't care for Kevin McCarthy. A lot of pretty well-informed Republicans don't think he's the guy. But there's no other guy, there's no other woman that is poised to jump in to fill the breach. And so it all depends if Trump is silent or still says McCarthy's his guy. It depends on how badly those other Republicans want to shoot themselves and the entire party in the foot.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling, too, like things are shifting under our feet right now. I know Trump has made a weird announcement about that, you know, we need a superhero, and he's got a huge announcement to make tomorrow. I don't know what he's thinking, but I'm kind of feeling a little bit like he's responding to the fact that it seems like he's losing a lot of following. The people on Fox News, some people have been hitting him really hard on Fox News, saying we got to move on. He's making us lose elections. Do you feel – I mean, I guess I'm feeling a little bit like there are people who have become a little bit more independent. I know they're – you know, Biggs got 31 votes. Right now, McCarthy is completely massaging the most crazy people like Marjorie Taylor Greene. But then he was – you know, Matt Gaetz won't go along with it. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz were, you know, connected at the hip all year. And now they've broken up over this. It really seems like even the Trump factor maybe has less to do with it than it would have even a few weeks ago.
I think that's fair. That's entirely fair. I don't know what this big announcement is. Maybe he's launching a comic book where literally he's the superhero.
Right.
Maybe he'll say he's available as the compromise candidate for speaker. I know there are a lot of Republicans who were salivating over that for 2 years. I think it's ridiculous. He'd never do it. But in order to try to be in the conversation.
Yeah.
Because if there's one thing we know about Mr. Trump is he likes publicity.
Yeah.
Good or bad, just spell my name right.
Exactly.
And the The thing that McCarthy's got a horrible problem. He's got several. But here's the number one horrible problem. At best, he'll have 222 mm-hmm. Republicans.
Yep. Yeah.
He can only afford to lose four of them.
Yeah, for 2 years on anything.
That's it. Absolutely. And so for this very important initial vote, the first vote many of them will take, new Congress members, right?
Right.
You know, if there are five who defect, well, then it's open season.
Yeah.
And so when you're McCarthy, look, he's been making deals with the devil ever since he got elbowed aside when John Boehner stepped out.
Yep.
And he made darn sure it wasn't going to happen again. So he has made deals. He has paid people off. And by paying them off, I mean campaign contributions, committee assignments, et cetera. So he has greased the skids for his ascension. But in doing all of that to keep the current people happy, he forgot to help get more Republicans elected so he'd have more of a cushion. And that's why you have this divisive problem at a pivotal time.
Exactly. I mean, it really does seem rife for a what can we say on the radio? A poop show at the beginning of January in the House.
Oh, yeah. It's really already that way, Todd. I mean, if you look at it, this is supposed to be, here's the red carpet. Republicans are going to come in, and by gosh, things will be different when we get to town, they say. The Senate Republicans are working to cut the House Republicans' legs out from under them, with McConnell trying to get an omnibus spending bill passed yet this month, yet this Congress.
Yep.
Now, if that's not a sign of complete disunity, I don't know what is.
Right. Yeah. I just spoke about that, too, kind of trying to set up this conversation between you and I. And I mentioned that McConnell had in his mind, first of all, McConnell and McCarthy were in the meeting. We saw the funny picture where they both looked super miserable in the meeting in the White House with the Democratic leadership, including Biden. And in that meeting, McConnell said, yeah, I'm willing to work across the aisle to get this passed before the end of the year. And he was thinking that he was doing McCarthy a favor by making sure everything was set up for McCarthy to operate smoothly within the House. And now McCarthy's saying, no way am I going to work with them. And he's trying to get everyone to not vote, you know, to knock down. Of course, they're not going to be able to because the Democrats are still in charge. But he's going against this omnibus spending bill, and the reason is because, he wants to fight about it, but that would mean a government shutdown if they don't do it quick enough. And, you know, again, like you said, on many levels, this is – even without the speakership voting, which would probably ensure a government shutdown because they won't be able to talk about anything else if they're gridlocked during the speaker,
right.
You know.
Right.
And so McCarthy, I don't know. I have been saying over and over, and I hate to call people names, but when they, you know, when you got to label somebody just to for confusion's sake, okay, you see that guy, the guy who looks like the dumbest guy in the room, that's Kevin McCarthy. You know.
Well, I mentioned this. I think it was last week with Matt, but it bears repeating. I've never met Representative McCarthy, but he did come and campaign in Iowa, and a Republican, a very solid Republican, whose opinion I respect, said he was at an event and met McCarthy, and his impression was McCarthy was just in it for himself.
Mm-hmm.
That yes, he was there with other politicians, but the way he interacted at a retail politics level with these folks who should have been just grateful to see him. Apparently, he just acted like he really only cared about himself and his own agenda.
Yep.
Well, that's not very helpful. But now here's another bit of history. If you remember, and this occurred to me when Paul Ryan was the speaker, and then he said, I'm out of here. I'm not going to run again. I went to an event where he was speaking on behalf of a Republican. And Ryan, then the speaker, was whining and moaning about how much they had done in the House that the Senate would not act upon. And again, he was speaking to a crowd in Iowa, and then had to say, look, you've done your part. You have two Republican senators. You've done your part, but you got to, get your neighbors in other states to come along. So when McConnell was the majority leader and Ryan was the speaker, hundreds, literally hundreds of pieces of legislation passed the House, and they got nowhere in the Senate. And that shows that McConnell doesn't exactly want to work with the House, regardless of who is in charge, because he wants that level of power. And I do believe that in his mind, he thinks he's doing Kevin McCarthy a favor by getting the budget taken care of, because that's not going to end well in a fractured House starting in January. But I don't think that sits well with the base either.
Right. That's the whole party is really in trouble because they're completely split. I mean, I'm really this sounds alarmist or unrealistic, but it's almost starting to sound like, you know, 1830s and 40s Whig party, where there's split down the middle and there's no way that they're going to make any compromises with each other, much less, you know, the Democratic Party. But I mean, I don't know. Do you see a fissure that strong within the Republican Party that it might actually make them go the way of the Whigs?
Here's the one difference. Your setup is accurate, and if not for this thing I'm about to mention, you might see that kind of a fracture. The Republicans and Democrats for years have gamed the system to favor a two-party system, right? You could declare $1.50 of your taxes to go to the political party. You have to be a member of that party in order to have standing on state ballots, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, the two parties have worked together to do what? Perpetuate the success of only two parties.
Right. Yeah.
The only way that that's going to wind up changing is if you get more and more elected officials. In other words, they've already been elected as, frankly, Republican or Democrat, to declare independent status.
Mm-hmm.
To get in, and I don't know what kind of a meeting Sinema, Sanders, and King would have. I'm not sure they would agree on tipping the waitress, much less public policy.
Right.
But that's three. Well, then how many more ultimately? Because in the past it was always, you know, you did the Jim Jeffords routine, flip to the other side. Or Jeff Van Drew, you flip to the other side. What about just flipping to no party? And get the best deal you can. If you start getting a public body that represents the electorate, look, you've got a third Republican, a third Democrat, and a third no party in this country in terms of voter registration. You start getting that from a governance level, that could be fascinating.
Yeah, yes. I have another – you've kind of sparked another idea that's to the side of that, sort of. Why don't we talk more? Let's take a break and come back. You can stick around, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's take a short break, Patrick. And you're listening to AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Todd Mickelson in for Matt McNeil, and we're talking to Jeff Stein. We'll be right back.
I feel the earth move under my...
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Todd Mickelson sitting in on the Matt McNeil Show. And we're talking to Jeff Stein on the line right now, having a discussion about we were right in the middle of discussing, is it possible that the Republican Party is going the way of the Whigs? And I have a couple thoughts on that, Jeff, in that the Whig, when that whole thing happened, it was basically that party breaking up into two, and it took about 20 years, and one of the sides ended up emerging then as the other major party, kind of handing everything over to the Democrats for, like, you know, 15 or 20 years until they started the Republican Party, and then Abraham Lincoln became their first president. And it happened again sort of in a slightly different way, unsuccessfully, with Theodore Roosevelt, who was considered a progressive Republican, which was a thing back then, and then he after he was president for basically two terms, and then his vice president became president, and he hated the way his vice president was running things, so he actually started a new party and ran as a third party candidate, but that all dissolved, and he didn't break up the Republican Party into two and have one of them reemerge later. He kind of failed to break the party into two. That's more sort of what I'm thinking. You know, one of those two things. Like, I don't think of just anybody in Congress starting a third party. I'm thinking that, you know, maybe this Andy Biggs coalition, who, you know, starting with 31 people so far, including some heavy, you know, some famous hitters, at least like Matt Gaetz and things like that. Those guys saying, okay, you know what, we're no longer Republicans. We're going to just be a new party like the America First Party or something like that. And then basically now you've got the Republican Party split in two for probably, you know, 20 or 30 years where the Democrats stay in charge. That's kind of what I see as a possibility. Not probability, but possibility.
Well, with regard to the Teddy Roosevelt situation, you had the well-known charismatic figure mm-hmm. that then started his own party, but it did not outlive him. He was not even successful, right?
Right.
Then you think back to the Ross Perot efforts of the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
And they tried to get that to go past into the 2000 election. That's when Pat Buchanan was the nominee of the party. Well, Buchanan was no Perot, and so that went away. The Trump factor, and I am not right. as hung up on Trump as Mr. McNeil is on this. Not everything in my world leads back to Trump, but if he, by trying to subvert or take over the existing Republican Party, that's in essence founding a third party
right.
without having to do all the legwork. I don't think the movement survives Trump. Now, you are hearing a lot of people. In other words, if the Republicans just waited until Trump was done, and I'm not convinced he's going to actually complete a second or a third run. I'm not right. saying that he's actually going to make it to the 2024 caucuses. He may come up with some either anoint a successor or point to pending investigations, etc.
I think not only is he not to interrupt, but I think not only no. is he not going to make it, I think he's not even planning on it. I think he's just doing this as a ruse for other reasons. But
well,
go ahead,
what it does
ahead.
Is no, but you're right, because what it does is he declares way early, and therefore he can point to any investigation by Democrats, the Justice Department, a grand jury, and say it's all a political hit job. Mm-hmm. It's only because I'm running for president.
Yep.
It's a very convenient shelter, if you will. But I just don't think, you know, if some of these more mainstream Republicans would just wait it out, they'll have what's left of the party. Now, is it going to be worth having by then? Whole different question.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It does seem like more of those people are emerging. There are even a I mean, it looks very likely that there will be a handful. Like you said, we only need five Republicans to decide, you know what, I'm not going to do this poop show. I didn't bring any poop to the poop show. So I'm going to make a deal with the Democrats, and we're going to get a speaker.
Or they're going to block McCarthy. It doesn't automatically follow that they will join in a Democrat. They may just cause McCarthy so many headaches that they either A, extort whatever they want, and I don't know that some of them can be bought because they just are vehement against McCarthy, or they're going to find a compromise candidate from within. In other words, a compromise right. candidate the 218 Republicans would vote yeah. for. In the current situation, I just cannot see anybody of either party crossing over for one of the other's nominees.
Right. Well, I know some people were also talking about the possibility that candidate might be somebody like Liz Cheney. But I don't see her being able to get 218.
No.
I mean,
no.
Yeah.
I mean, she'll get all the Democrat votes, and that's 212, because there is still a vacancy that they have to do a special election on. But you're going to tell me that six or seven Republicans are going to cross over to vote for her?
I could believe. I could see that happening. People like, you know, Mitt Romney and some of these people, they're not mad at her, you know. I mean,
well, but again, in the House, right?
Oh, that's so, right. Yeah, he's in the Senate.
But again, you know, how many Romney-like figures are there? I don't know that there's really enough to help pull her across the finish line. I think that who the compromise might be, and that's the whole beauty of a compromise candidate. We don't know who it is.
Right.
You know, I mean, you just have to see how desperate people get.
I'm going to put my name in.
You want to talk desperate. Kevin McCarthy is not going to let go of this easily.
Yeah, it would be really interesting, though, if like I had not thought of what you said in that. What if Trump's announcement tomorrow is that I'm putting myself in the running to be the Speaker of the House? Sure. Then what would Kevin McCarthy do? Because, you know, Trump is McCarthy's boss and God right now. So what does McCarthy do with that?
Well, he hopes the paramedics can revive him because he's going to hit the floor in a dead faint.
Right.
I mean, there's no question. Now, I'm not a candidate for Speaker. McNeil, though, you know, you need a job where there's a driver. See, that's first of all. Matt needs a job where someone else is driving him. I'm just going to leave that there.
Okay.
And I think he likes the trappings of power, don't you think?
I mean, I'm thinking so. He's kind of he is like McCarthy in the sense I was going to mention that when you said McCarthy was there only for himself at that event in Iowa.
Yeah.
Don't you think that the guy who his only thing he's wanted for years and years or maybe his whole life is to be Speaker of the House no matter what, and now he's compromised himself in every which way to do it. He's not the best guy to be the Speaker of the House.
No, because, again, he got edged out the first time, and so he swore that wouldn't happen again.
Yeah.
So he's played the game, but, again, he's not running on what I will do as Speaker.
Exactly.
He's
exactly.
Running on I will be Speaker. And this is the difference quickly between the contract with America in 94 and whatever
and
cardboard
now.
Check they signed right. this time. It's about McCarthy. It's not about principles.
Exactly. Say, you know, I could tell that you and I could go on with this all day, but we got to go right now. Sure. Thank you so much, Jeff Stein, for your time. Listen to Jeff. You can find Jeff Stein. He does the Iowa Business Report and the Iowa Politics Report through KXEL Radio in Cedar Falls and Waterloo, Iowa. And you can find his books at Next Chapter Booksellers here in the Twin Cities. Thank you again, Jeff. It's been a blast to speak with you. And
great fun.
Yeah, and next week we'll see if you'll be on with Matt again. He's doing relatively well. He did call in, and he was on for more than 20 minutes yesterday. He was going to see how that made him feel. But so, Jeff, next week it'll be either me or him. All right.
I look forward to it. Have a good one.
Okay, you too. Thanks a lot. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. We'll be back for the second hour.